If you remember back to your childhood watching TV and seeing wrestling at the Chase from the Coruscant Ballroom at the Chase Park Plaza here in St. Louis, you know that this town has for a long time been into wrestling. Well, there is a new DVD that is coming out tomorrow, which is called the Ringside Special Edition of Beyond the Mat. A great insider look at the world of wrestling, and in particular the WWF, that was put together several years ago by Barry Blaustein, who has now put together what he calls his unrated director's cut, which includes some special added stuff on it. And since it's coming out tomorrow, I invited him to come on the show today. Hello, Barry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. And I got to tell you, I am not a big WWF fan. I know some of these guys from seeing them in various venues, but I'm not a big wrestling fan. But watching your movie, I could not take my eyes off of them.
Oh, thank you.
This is just wonderful piece of movie making. But why do you say it's the movie Vince McMahon doesn't want us to see?
Well, what happened is that's just a marketing thing. What happened is Vince McMahon wanted to. When I first approached Vince McMahon about appearing in the movie, he wanted to be an investor in it. I turned him down and I said, I can't do a documentary about somebody where the subject matter is the investor. And what happened after he saw the movie, he offered to buy it and pay like triple its budget because he didn't want anybody making money off wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he thought, and I wasn't making money off wrestlers. I was just trying to make a documentary here.
Yep.
And so he then went around and refused advertising on his show, which is right. But then he also put pressure on stations throughout the country not to run any advertising at all on any stations that were showing wrestling.
So it wasn't a matter of him coming off in a negative light in the movie, which I didn't really think he did. I think he showed a pretty good, honest portrayal of him.
No, Vince told me privately. He says, you know, he says it's not the movie he would have made. He thought it was, you know, you don't show the joy and the happiness. enough, but and there's a lot of stuff I didn't show, which I'm sure he wouldn't have liked me to show. But yeah, it was just that he wasn't getting his piece.
Now, what's the deal on Vince McMahon? Is it all about the bottom line? Is there anything this guy would not do for money?
I'm sure there are certain things that he wouldn't do for money, but I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, does he care about these guys? I guess,
you know, in a weird way, he does care. In a weird, he cares about, in much the way, I guess, the old plantation owner would care about his favorite slaves.
Right.
There's a side of him that is ruthless, and there's a side of him that he sees an old, battered wrestler that's out of it. He'll go help, and he'll give him money and things like that. So there's both these sides. You know, it's sort of like, you know, the ruthless dictator that steps down, you know, will kneel down to help a homeless child.
Yeah, the ruthless dictator with a heart of gold.
Yes.
Yeah. But I guess in that way, he's probably like many sports owners, which is, hey, we found this guy who has some talent. We can exploit him. Let's exploit him for as long as possible. And then once we're done with him, we'll move on to the next guy.
Yes. The only difference is that other sports, if you're an athlete in baseball, you have other places you can go. You have teams you can go to.
Right.
Your football, you can play for the football teams. There's a union. You have a pension. You have a union that protects you. And in wrestling, there is no union. There's no other way for these guys. There's no other federations now.
Yeah, he bought the competition.
Right. So basically, you either play his rules or you don't play at all.
Right. Do you think?
And also, you know, a baseball player will know exactly how much he's going to make that year. There might be some incentive clauses, but he knows basically what they're going to pay. Vince will guarantee to some of these guys, a very minimal amount of money, and then you're paid on percentage of gate and where he feels you are the draw. So you always have to be beholden to him. It's wrestling's business practices are, you know, from two centuries ago.
Now, in the movie, one thing you didn't include, which I was kind of, the one thing that disappointed me about the movie is I didn't hear from the wrestlers what they think of this ruthless dictator with the heart of gold, Vince McMahon.
Well, there's some of them say that, but if you're, you know, if you're in a prison of war camp, well, I shouldn't say it's a prison of war camp. That's exaggerating. But you know, they have to watch what they say. One of the interesting things about this new edition is that I have a new commentary by Mick Foley, who was Mankind there, and when he did it, he was no longer working for the WWF or WWE, and Jesse Ventura had no affiliations with him. So they were free, like any other person working in our society, to speak freely.
Yep, and great thing about Ventura is he always speaks his mind. I mean,
very much so.
I mean, he was a blowhard wrestler, and he turned into a blowhard politician. But you realize behind that blowhard is a guy who's actually telling you what he thinks and feels. And
yeah, I've known Jesse now for 20 years, and I think what he comes across in this piece is really mostly what he's like when you're sitting around with him.
Yeah.
When he's not performing. You know, when he's in the ring, he was performing. When he's on Meet the Press, he's certainly performing to a certain degree.
I like the fact that you three are having dinner, and Jesse sometimes in the middle of a bite with food in his mouth has a long speech he has to make, and he can't take the time to chew and swallow because somebody else might take the spotlight away for just a second.
Well, yes, but I have that problem too, so I had to cut around with me talking with my food in my mouth.
Well, you're the director. You can do that.
Right.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about this guy, Mankind, Mick Foley.
Yes.
Who became really a legend for his willingness to basically take one of the noggin over and over and over again. And you have, towards the end of the movie, this very moving scene, and moving in every definition of the word, where his wife and two little kids, his boy and his girl, how old were they in that scene, Barry?
I think they were about 5 and 7, I think.
And they go and they see a match between Mick Foley and Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
Right.
And it's a huge deal at some WrestleMania event. And these little kids, they know kind of what Daddy does for a living, but I got the impression they didn't really know what Daddy did for a living.
Well, they did know what he does for a living, and there was, you know, they met The Rock a lot of times, and, you know, he kept saying The Rock was not going to hurt him and all this stuff. And the match got a little out of control, but there's a difference when you see that when you see it on TV, you're removed from it. They had been to the arena, but they never sat in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the violence affecting them that way, so suddenly it's their father being beaten up in the ring and taking these shots. And it really, I think, shows the effect of violence once that violent lifestyle. I mean, Mick's a very bright and intelligent guy. And at the end of the movie, I show his children's reaction to it. I think it's just that after a while, we become numb to this violence, and we shouldn't become numb to this violence.
No, absolutely. And the reaction of the kids and the wife, you know, I'm not sure when I'm watching her. What was her name? I can't remember.
Colette.
I can't remember whether her reaction was, oh, my goodness, that's my husband up there, and this seems like it's more violent because I'm this close to it this time.
Right.
Or was her reaction, I got to get these kids out of here.
I think it was a combination of both. I think she was feeling, oh, my God, he's really getting beaten up real badly, and then I got to get the kids there and out. And, you know, after I asked her, because I was backstage filming other stuff while this was going on. I had another crew out there filming just following her, and I asked her, I said, you know, did you stay? I felt kind of guilty. I said, you've got to tell me, did you stay because the cameras were there? And she said, no, I forgot the cameras were there. It was just that, it was. I had to get out to protect the kids. But she was stunned and didn't want to leave her husband.
Yeah. And you later went to Florida and showed them
the footage
of what you had edited together with the violence of the ring and the reaction of these kids and their mom at ringside. And Mick kind of was taken aback by that, wasn't he?
Totally. It was a very hard thing for me to do because I like Mick a lot as a person. And it's like saying to somebody, you know, here's what you did. And up to that point, Mick said, because once Mick saw the kids when they were backstage, and they were fine when they were backstage. It calmed down everything, and he's very reassuring with them. And you'll notice he never lets go of his daughter's hand.
Yeah.
But he never realized the effect of it before. And his parents had told me about the kids watching him and being affected by it. And his wife told me. And I just thought it was something that Mick, as a parent, I he needed to see.
Yep.
And I think he realized it, too, at that moment.
I think so, Chuck. We're talking with Barry Blaustein, the director of Beyond the Mat, a great insider's view of the World Wrestling Federation, now World Wrestling Entertainment, because the World Wildlife Fund sued their butts off and beat Vince McMahon, which I'm sure he's bitter about to this day. These guys, as you got to know them, and you talked to people like Terry Funk and Jake the Snake Roberts and some of these other guys who've had, you know, big careers but also troubled careers, what is it that makes them want to do this night in and night out? Sometimes guys at the bottom of the end, at the bottom of the ladder, at the end of their careers, they're just doing it for what?
The roar of the crowd. You know, it is an amazing feel, whether you're performing in front of 20,000 people or even 20 people, and you have them in the palm of your hand and being able to manipulate them up and down. And, you know, Jake Roberts said to me, the 15 minutes in the ring, I'm in total control. And that's a great, I'm in control of everything. And how many times in your life, and how many times in the part of the day, do you feel that you have control?
Yeah, unfortunately for him, the day had 23 hours and 45 other minutes.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, I would you know, walk out with the wrestlers when they're the camera, and you'd hear this loud, wow, you know, this big cheers. And boy, it is addicting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see it.
Did these guys have some superhuman threshold of pain that we don't have?
Some of them do. I mean, they're hurt all the time, and they work through the pain where, you know, we would stay home and say, I'm taking some aspirin and staying home. you know, I don't know if they have superhuman. Mick can seem to endure more pain than most people. And I would always argue with Mick that he's masochistic, and he would say, no, I'm not, because, you know, I'm going to go home and put my hand over a flame. But I think some of them, because their strength can endure a little more pain, but they do hurt.
Did you find steroids and chemical dependency and all that sort of stuff in the years you spent with these guys?
Well, you see bodies that you go, geez, I don't know how somebody can get that big without some steroids and chemicals. I wasn't really looking for that.
Yeah.
You know, my feeling on steroids is somebody, I don't think it's the biggest problem facing our nation, despite what our president says.
Yeah. I was shocked to find it in the State of the Union address myself.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I, you know, if they want to use it, they can. But, yeah, there's a lot of they're dealing every night on the road, and it's from one night to the other, and they're traveling, and it's nonstop performing and dealing with the pain. I'm sure there's a lot of medication taken that some prescribed, some unprescribed.
You say in the movie that the critics have it all wrong. What do they have all wrong about wrestling?
That it's fun. I mean, the biggest thing is that people go, don't they know it's fake? 99% of the audience knows it's fake, but you suspend your belief. When I go see a James Bond movie, I know when a car flies out of a building and lands on the street and still goes, I know that's not really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy would die, but I suspend my belief. I think most of the fans, they just love the theatricality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy it and have fun. I watch wrestling. I still am sort of a... I'm embarrassed to say I still like wrestling. I like wrestling.
Now, why are you embarrassed?
I don't know, because I'm not supposed to. It's like, I said it's like somebody coming home and seeing that you have a porno tape. It's so low class, and that's what I like about it. But I think there are 90... Most of the time I watch wrestling, I go, I can't believe I'm watching it. And then there's another time when I'm watching, and I go, boy, if people just saw it through the way I saw it, I can't believe people don't like it. The pageantry and the showmanship and all this. I mean, some of these guys are incredible entertainers and incredible performers.
Whatever happened to Hulk Hogan?
He's now, I think, retired. He had a comeback a couple of years ago, and he's... I think he's retired now, but, you know, these guys never retire. They always come back.
He's in his 60s now, isn't he?
No, I don't think he's in his 60s. I'd say he's in his 50s.
Wow.
Or late 50s.
Yeah, well,
I don't think he's 60.
And who's the greatest success story in the WWF's history, would you say? Is it The Rock? Is it Jesse Ventura? Is it Hogan? Who is it?
Well, it all matters. I mean, I probably Jesse's most successful thing because he parlayed into a career, a successful career, totally outside of wrestling.
Right.
Hulk made probably more money than any wrestler. And The Rock's been hugely successful working his way into Hollywood. And I think he's, you know, going to be a big acting star.
Yeah.
You know, he's a smart, bright, intelligent guy and, deserves all success.
Yeah, Jesse made some movies where he was, you know, in Predator with Schwarzenegger, but not, he wasn't Schwarzenegger. The Rock has the potential to be Schwarzenegger, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a leading man.
Now, speaking of movies, you're making a movie now with Johnny Knoxville.
Yes.
Is that The Ringer?
That's The Ringer.
What's that about?
That is about a guy who pretends to be mentally challenged in order to fix the Special Olympics.
Okay.
Now, I should tell you, the movie has the approval of the Special Olympics.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So, you mean this one had the approval of Vince McMahon the same way?
No. The movie the Shrivers don't want you to see. No, it's they were there on the set and have total script approval. They have not seen the finished version yet, but I'm sure they'll love it. And it's actually people who work with people with mental challenges, mental disabilities, have seen the movie, and it's really positive. It's like half the cast is mentally challenged.
Okay. Now, I was a fan of Jackass with Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O and all those guys.
Right.
There are real similarities between that show and the WWF, aren't there?
Some.
I mean, basically, it's, yeah, we'll hurt ourselves so that you can be entertained.
Exactly.
That's the real bottom line there. When is The Ringer coming out?
I don't know yet. It'll either come out this summer or this fall. I'm just finishing editing it now.
Oh, so you're in post-production. And you were also involved in our St. Louis buddy Cedric the Entertainer's big screen version of The Honeymooners.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's happening with that. You know, I just write them and then the studio, whatever.
Yeah.
Cedric would make a great Jackie Gleason, Ralph Cramden. So.
Yeah. Well, he talked to me like a year and a half ago about working on that and hoping to get it done. And have they even started on that movie yet?
No, they haven't started it yet. What happened is my partner David Sheffield and I did a rewrite of the script, sort of a page one rewrite, and then they were going to make it last fall, and then it was scheduling difficulties. So I don't know if they're going to start it up again or, you know, to get a movie made takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
So. At a certain point, I just go, okay.
Yeah, I'm moving on to something else.
I got to move on to something else.
I understand. All right. Well, tomorrow the DVD is coming out, the Ringside special edition of the unrated director's cut.
I don't think there's enough hype on them.
Yeah. Are there any more qualifiers I can add to this?
No, it's stupendous.
Beyond the Mat, the movie Vince McMahon doesn't want you to see. This is, you know, I feel like Gene Okerlund here. I know.
And I just went to your site. I looked at the picture of the vet exploding.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. I was at the vet. And boy, I was at the vet when it opened, and boy, that is probably one of the least memorable stadiums
ever built. The amazing thing about the vet is on opening day, it was still a horrible dump, and it only got worse.
Yeah.
Barry, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Barry Blaustein, director of Beyond the Mat, which comes out on DVD tomorrow. Whether you're into wrestling or not, this is a terrific documentary. This is the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS.